You're listening to RightDivision.com, brought to you by No Side Bible Church.
If not, we'll go to the scripture reading. It's in Proverbs today, chapter 14, verses 32 through 35. The wicked is driven away in his wickedness, but the righteous hath hope in his death. Wisdom resteth in the heart of him that hath understanding, but that which is in the midst of fools is made known. Righteousness exalteth a nation, but sin is a reproach to any people. The king's favor is toward a wise servant, but his wrath is against him that causes shame. And Father God, we ask for your blessing on this, the reading of your holy word. In Christ Jesus' name we pray, and for his sake. Amen.
If it can happen, it does, you know. You look at a place there and you think, well, it's not like it. Yeah, but could it happen? Yeah, it could happen, and it will happen. Eventually, that's what happens. So, we need to be in prayer for all these people that get into these predicaments. And sometimes they're not likely, but they happen and people suffer. And around the world, we've got all sorts of things, wars going on. And we think about the things happening in Israel, but you know, that's not the only place. There's the Sudan, there's all sorts of places in Africa where there's all kinds of terrible things going on. We just take it for granted here. Steph and I were talking about how spoiled we are in this country. We're just spoiled, man. Just absolutely spoiled. But around the world, people are suffering, I tell you, big ways. I mean, there are people suffering here too. I understand that. But the size of the suffering around the world is huge. Well, let's pray. Oh God and Father, we thank thee for the grace that has appeared to us in Christ Jesus. And Lord, we pray for those around the world who don't have the advantages we have here. Lord, we would be mindful of them and do as much as we can to help. We pray, Lord, as we open up the book of Proverbs, that you'd speak to our hearts and lives, and that we'd change our conduct to be better servants of thee. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Okay, so Proverbs, the book of Proverbs, is just filled with gems. There's just so many gems. And last time we looked at this chapter 13, which looked at these things, good, temporal, or eternal. And while that was specifically the emphasis of that chapter, this idea of the temporal and the eternal goes right throughout not only Proverbs, but right throughout the whole of Scriptures. And so we looked at this idea. And I'm going to just move very quickly now to where I need to be. Why? Because this chapter is huge. So the last chapter had 25 verses in it, and this chapter has 35 verses. It's a big chapter. And when you look at it, what's it about? It's about the wise and the foolish, rich and poor. Rich and poor. Masters and servants. And you'll notice also about this whole section, chapters 11 through 15, you have the pious and the ungodly, their advantages and disadvantages. And you need to bear these things in mind as we read through here. You'll notice in the very first verse, chapter 14, it says, every wise woman, and this is the wisdom, the chokmah, wise woman, buildeth her house. And so when you think about this building, you should not think simply of the material parts of a house, but rather the metaphor of the house and the fact that there is a household, right? There's a household. And there's ways of building which has to do with the moral conduct of those who are in charge of the house, the parents, right? And specifically in this case, the woman of the house. How does she conduct herself? And you'll notice it says, every wise woman buildeth her house, but the foolish plucketh it down with her hands. Now this word, it's just interesting to me, the choice of the translators, where it says plucketh. The word really just means to destroy. But I can see the wisdom of using the word plucketh here, because you notice it says with her hands. And so the metaphor of destruction here is that of a gradual, continual destruction, one bit at a time, you know. And so the foolish woman, with the great influence she could have and does have within the household, can destroy a household by a slow degradation, bit at a time, bit at a time. This is how it starts. And it's contrasting the lady wisdom, who has the great example of edification, right? Real wisdom will be portrayed by a woman who exemplifies Lady Chokmah in terms of how she edifies the home. And then it goes in verse 2, which is kind of interesting. He that walketh in his uprightness feareth the Lord. So it goes, it's just interesting to me how the inspired scriptures go. It starts with the she, the great example of Lady Chokmah, the example of a wise woman taking that example and using it, and then another example of one who does not, but acts foolishly and plucks all of these bits and pieces that make up the household fragment and destroys. And then in verse 2, he that walketh in his uprightness feareth the Lord. So then it goes to the he. Why would that be? Why would the inspiration of the scriptures move from the example of the woman and then to the he? He that walketh in his uprightness feareth the Lord. I believe this, the reason for this going on here is because we've had right throughout these scriptures the example of the strange woman. And the fact that the unwise man is being led aside by the strange woman. And the strange woman is real and metaphor, right? It's real and metaphor. The strange woman can be the apostate, the one who brings false doctrine, the one who uses this false doctrine to bring people aside, men especially, who are supposed to take positions of influence, and they themselves give a bad example. We saw, Seb and I have been watching a lot of the old movies. A lot of the old movies have wisdom in them. You know, they do. Because a lot of them portray biblical ideas. And you'll see, for example, in some of the old movies, where the children will say, but Granddad doesn't pray. You know, the father says, you know, you need to pray. And then the child's not praying anymore. Why? Because Granddad's not praying. Granddad doesn't pray. That's the example that came to him. And he latches onto that bad example, right? The parents have this role, right, of showing a good example. We all know this. You know, some people would argue against the Bible and say, but these are all just common knowledge. No, it's not common knowledge. It's not common knowledge. If it was common knowledge, how come we see our society in shambles? It needs to be written down. And God knows this. The wisdom of the wise must be written down and it must be gone over. Because we have this old sin nature and we are pulled aside by the philosophies of the day. We need this truth, which is the truth of God, to come to us. But he that is perverse in his ways despiseth him. See that? Now, in verse 2, I want you to think about this. He that walketh in his uprightness. And if you read the notes by Bullinger, he suggests that the his here is referring, could refer to the uprightness of the Lord. It seems to be much more natural, however, to just take it. He that walketh in his, that is the same person who is walking, his uprightness, feareth the Lord. And where does this uprightness come from? It ultimately comes from the Lord. So whether you take it to be, you know, the uprightness of the Lord directly, or whether you take it to be the uprightness of the person who is wise, ultimately the source is God, the Lord. But he that is perverse in his ways despiseth him. in the end, all of these miscreant activities come to a despising of God. And the atheists bring this out. They really do. You have a look at the Soviet Union and the influence of communism, which absolutely is founded on this idea of getting rid of the opiate of the people, that is this belief in God. They try to get rid of this, right? Destroy it. And with that, of course, comes all of the terrible acts that we've seen go on in communist countries and are still going on today in communist China and around the world. In the mouth of the foolish is a rod of pride. A rod of pride. In the mouth of the foolish is a rod of pride. The stick here will break, but the lips of the wise shall preserve them. The lips of the wise shall preserve them. Good words are very powerful. A word spoken at the right time, boy, is that important. And if you can't find the words, it's often best to just hold off. But if you find those words and you speak them at the right time, they are medicine. Where no oxen are, the crib is clean, but much increased by the strength of the ox. A faithful witness will not lie. It comes here to this verse 5, which is about the witness. And I want to point this out. A faithful witness. You think about someone who witnesses an act, witnesses something to happen. A faithful witness will not lie, but a false witness will utter lies. A false witness. You think about our statements as Christians that we are to be good witnesses. We're witnessing the truth of the gospel. We're witnessing the truth of the revelation of the mystery given to Paul, the prisoner. We're witnessing a whole lot of things. We are supposed to be faithful witnesses. But a false witness will utter lies. The other place where it's used is in verse 25. A true witness delivereth souls, but a deceitful witness speaketh lies. The best witness you can get will be someone who is faithful. Faithful, certainly, in the truth of what they have observed, but in a more general sense, faithful to God. Faithful to what God has witnessed in His Scriptures, and then you in turn bear witness to that truth. And it goes on, which are really cool passages. Verse 6, let's have a look at this. I'm just taking some salient points now in order to get through what I want to. It says here in verse 6, a scorner seeketh wisdom and findeth it not. A scorner. A scorner seeketh wisdom and findeth it not. Even a scorner is going to want wisdom eventually. But unfortunately, such a person does not find it. So a scorner here. And then it says, but knowledge is easy unto him that understandeth. You know, there's a certain general principles which come up here about understanding. Now, there's some students that I come across, this is truth, I believe, which is quite general, that people who do not want to understand, just want a quick answer, they'll never get anywhere as far as the discipline that they're trying to portray their learning. You'll find this in students. Teachers discuss this all the time. A student will come to you and say, how do you do this? Rather than, why is this so? Now, in disciplines such as sciences, there's two approaches that students will take, and that there's the low road, which is, how do you do it? It's just the bottom line. It's just, how do you get this answer? But it means that they're not engaging with the subject. They're not trying to understand what's going on. But if you take the time to understand, then what happens is you build this hierarchy of understanding from which you can gain more understanding. But if all you're interested in but is the bottom line, you never get anywhere. Not truly. You may be able to memorize a whole lot of facts, and you may in fact even be able to get a reasonable grade, but your long-term understanding is gone. You have got to engage and get the understanding. That's why the scriptures are to be rightly divided, and that involves work. That's the bottom line, right? That is our bottom line, work. You have to work to get it. And you cannot lean just on someone else's understanding, right? You've got to really get into this. And it says this, but knowledge is easy unto him that understandeth. Yeah, that's right. But to get to that understanding takes some work. Go from the presence of a foolish man when thou perceivest not in him the lips of knowledge. Right? So, in other words, you may be wanting to get some understanding. But if you have come to someone who is foolish and you perceive that in him, then depart, man. Depart. Go somewhere else. The wisdom of the prudent is to understand his way. Understand his way. But the folly of fools is deceit. Fools make a mock at sin, but among the righteous there is favor. Fools make a mock at sin. I'm afraid that's what's going on today, big time. In fact, those who supposedly are making money out of being humorous, this is what they're doing. They make a mock out of sin as if it has no real weight to it. They lessen the impact of sin. And unfortunately, there are many conservative commentators who do this as well. They kind of join the ranks of the age, which is to bring down the importance of seeing this is wrong and you need to depart from it. And it says, but among the righteous there is favor. Yeah, God will give favor to the righteous, those who are interested in putting into place righteous acts. The heart knoweth his own bitterness, and a stranger doth not intermeddle with his joy. The house of the wicked shall be overthrown, but the tabernacle of the upright shall flourish. Yeah, this is very cool. Tabernacle of the upright shall flourish. Eventually that will be the case. Again, this goes back to chapter 13 about the eternal and the temporal. Look at verse 12. This is the famous one, right? We've heard this one. And I know no doubt you've memorized it. Verse 12. There is a way. There is a way which seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. There's lots of ways of death. You might find a way, and it might seem to be good. It might seem right. It might bring you pleasure and delight. You might like it. But the end thereof are the ways of death. You know, there is what Paul calls an offense of the cross. The offense of the cross. And that relates to the fact that you cannot save yourself. Jesus paid the debt and the penalty. And that is very offensive to people who are religious, who think of themselves as being great. I will save myself. I am my own savior. Right? This happens. But the end thereof are the ways of death. Very serious matter, isn't it, when you think about life? Life is not just fun and games. There is a very serious part to life. And, you know, I have to be honest with you and say, many times when I look at my own existence, it's a mystery, man. It is a total mystery. I just am here. When I was a little kid, I just... What was that? What was I? I just began. And here I am. It's a strange thing in some ways, isn't it? You're just here. Where did you come from? Well, the sperm... Yeah. It's all that stuff. Yeah, I understand. Materially, you can talk about your body and the fact that it, you know, was created in that way. It grew in the womb and you were born. But at some stage, you came to your own consciousness that you exist. And that's mysterious. That is mysterious, man. It's a mysterious thing. Even in laughter, the heart is sorrowful. Boy, do I relate to this passage. You can get me to laugh. But there always is something in it that my mind goes to. At the end of that mirth is heaviness. Do you find this to be true in your life? Do you find this to be true? That there is a sadness to life. There just is a sadness to life. Yeah, there's a joy to life. I find that joy. I'm happy to have that joy. I'm happy to know that I've got the gift of eternal life. But there is also a tremendous heaviness and sadness to life as well. It's there. Don't try and deny it. It's there. Verse 14. The backslider in heart shall be filled with his own ways. His own ways. Man, this is interesting, isn't it? The backslider. The backslider is someone who knew the truth, adhered to the truth, and then falls away from it. Apostatizes, right? In heart shall be filled with his own ways. Well, yes, but this is what I do. Yes, this is what I do over here. I don't do that anymore, but I do this over here. And a good man shall be satisfied from himself. His place before God, his state, right, before God, from himself. I don't need to present my ways. I know who I am before God. You get satisfied with that. And if you try to sort of fill up your life with things and ways and doing things, you think you're going to be satisfied with that? You're not. Because that sadness will get you. And it says this, the simple believeth every... Look at this verse. This is verse 15. The simple believeth every word. Believeth every word. Now, I'm going to confess something to you. The first time I saw the George Floyd thing, I was suckered. You know what I'm talking about, right? I was suckered. You know what? The more that the truth of that whole incident has come out, and it has now, the more you see, you better hold your mouth and you better not make a decision until you get all the facts. The simple believeth every word. Did you see the latest news about that guy that was put in prison? He's now been stabbed. As far as I'm concerned, that guy's an innocent man. Do you know that? And he's been put in jail. And now, he could even lose his life there. All of this was from this political thing that was put on to this, where officials lied in court. Facts were kept away. All of these things. There's now a fantastic documentary that's come out. It's on Rumble. You need to see that documentary on the George Floyd thing. My friends, it's a shame, man. Whole precinct was burned. Whole thing was vacated. But all of this stuff. Black Lives Matter and all the rest of this nonsense, lies, and everything. The simple believe they reward, but the prudent man looketh well to his going. You better be circumspect, man, when you give your opinion on something. You better know what's going on before you give an opinion. Because the news media is compromised, man. Compromised. A wise man feareth and departeth from evil, but the fool rageth and is confident. Oh, man. Yeah, a wise man feareth, departeth from evil. He that is soon angry dealeth foolishly. Relates to verse 15 a lot. He that is soon angry dealeth foolishly. Again, circumspect. Know the facts. Know what went on. Don't be soon angry. And a man of wicked devices is hated. Yeah, sooner or later, that truth will come out. The simple inherit folly, but the prudent are crowned with knowledge. Goes back to knowledge, this whole idea of wisdom based upon practical knowledge, listening to Lady Cockman, understanding God's word, being careful. Don't be in a hurry to get angry. Make sure. You don't just take every word. Make sure you investigate first. Very cool. Very important. This is verse 20. The poor is hated even of his own neighbor, but the rich hath many friends. So this is a statement of fact. Now you'll find that in these scriptures, the riches are not a bad thing. It's not bad to have money. It's not bad to have wealth. You can look after your own children. You can use the wealth in ways which are productive and good. And a poor person is put into a very, very difficult situation. If the poor person has a family, for example, what's going to happen to the children? Right? It's a very important thing. He that despiseth his neighbor sinneth, but he that hath mercy on the poor, happy is he. Do they not err that devise evil? But mercy and truth should be to them that devise good. In all labor there is profit. Stop! In all labor. Right? It doesn't mean all without exception. It's just talking about the nature of labor, that it's good to work with your hands. It's good to work hard. In all labor there is profit. But the talk of the lips tendeth only to penury, poverty. Talk of the lips. How many people have come to poverty because of what they've said? Unwise words, without thinking. The crown of the wise is their riches, but the foolishness of fools is folly. Now, I've got a lot to say about this, and I'll discuss this a little bit with Seppi here about these things, that really, to take care of your family, you do need riches. A truth witness delivereth souls. A true witness delivers souls, but a deceitful witness speaketh lies. In the fear of the Lord is strong confidence, and his children shall have a place of refuge. Yeah, need that, don't we? Children need to be cared for. And coming on down here, I want to just look a little bit further down at the last verses. It says this in verse 32, the wicked is driven away in his wickedness, but the righteous hath hope in his death. That's right. One of the great joys that comes to us as people who have come to know the Lord is that we have hope in death. And whatever the sadness comes into our lives, and we admit that it does happen, we can look to the future, that there's going to be a resurrection. And man, I'm looking forward to that time when I'll see my folks with their new bodies. I'll see my sister with her new body. And boy, what rejoicing that will be. Wisdom resteth in the heart of him that hath understanding. But that which is in the midst of fools is made known. Isn't that interesting? It's made known eventually. What's in the midst of the fools will be made known. Righteousness exalteth a nation, but sin is a reproach to any people. Good advice here, friends. If you're in politics, you're in charge of a group of people, you're in charge of a nation, better be careful. Right? To him that's given much, much is required. The king's favor is towards a wise servant, but his wrath is against him that causeth shame. Great responsibility in serving. Great responsibility for us who want to serve the Lord God to do that which is right before him. Wow, that's a great, great passage of Scripture. And there's lots more in here. Let us pray. Our God and Father, we thank thee for this time and reading this chapter. We ask that the Scriptures would be magnified in our lives. We pray for the nation, Lord, that you would look after it, Lord, and to raise up good leaders, ones that would be mindful of the Scriptures, the great wisdom that we find there. And we ask this in Christ's name. Amen.
His name is wonderful, Jesus my Lord.
You've been listening to a lesson provided by Northside Bible Church. Our assembly is excited to bring you many studies to help the Christian grow in the knowledge of Christ Jesus, rightly divided. If you live in the greater Oklahoma City area, we welcome you to come and fellowship with us each Sunday. Sunday school begins at 10:15 and church service at 11. Otherwise, we hope you enjoy all the many audio lessons and Bible studies found on rightdivision.com. Questions regarding today's lesson or on any material on the website can be sent to our email address, which is questions@rightdivision.com. Or feel free to write us at Northside Bible Church, P.O. Box 20777, Oklahoma City, Oklahoma 73156. Thanks again for listening, and be sure and study your Bible today.